is Sir Charles Minor, and he is the new VP for the Northeast region. So just give it up for this big guy, right? Give it up.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG, whenever we feel like it. Ethan and Weiss back with you once again. Dog days of summer. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. You'll all be proud to know that despite our long layoff, that was one take. I did not have to restart like I thought I would. Weiss, how are you?
Ethan, my man, how's it going? It's been an interesting summer for you.
It has. Yes.
You've gone after a lot of people on Twitter. I see your war with NHL insiders is still going.
It's never over. No. It never stops, and I won't sleep until these people actually have to answer for their lack of work ethic.
Well, I was going to tee you up. Why don't you tell our viewers what your issue is with NHL insiders?
It's that they don't work. They don't do their job. When a player coughs, sneezes, or has diarrhea, Adam Schefter is on the case. When an NBA player books a flight, wipes their nose, Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania are on the case. Yeah. They know everything. We are well over a month into NHL free agency, and we have no idea who, what, or where the number two NHL free agent is going. And everyone just assumes that it's the Islanders, and no one is willing to do any work or dig into it. They're all at their summer cottages on the coast of Canada at some lake somewhere. They claim that they don't have good internet, good cell phone service. They're too busy drinking margaritas and making money off jokes that I created.
Wow.
And that's the latest.
So who is the Adam Schefter of the NHL? Is there anybody?
No. There are a few guys that work for various Canadian networks that claim that title. The OG is retired. His name's Bob McKenzie. But outside of him, Elliot Friedman, Darren Dreger. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the clips that I've been screenshotting from the podcasts.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Elliot Friedman. Like one of the go-to NHL insiders openly admitting that he did not actually want to do any work. Therefore, he has no news. Like, that is such an insane thing to admit out loud. And there are some people who will defend that type of rationale saying, well, you know, they're humans. Like, they deserve some time off. They're not working in a fucking oil field, right? They're not doing manual labor. They're sitting on their ass at their summer cottage. I mean, like, would they need a union to defend them from having to pick up the cell phone and make a call or send out some text messages or emails? It's a joke. It is a joke. And I'm just glad we don't have that problem in the NFL, the NBA, the MLB. It exists nowhere but the NHL. So that's the end of the rant. And yeah, I mean, some obvious real life things consuming my time this summer, but in terms of the memes and the jokes and the social media, that's number one for me.
Wow. Well, hopefully your message gets across and you can.
I think it has. I'm at the point where I think that they openly mock my shtick, and I'm not happy about it.
Well, hopefully you get the results that you're looking for.
I hope so.
Or the change that you're looking for.
Or maybe I'm just going to have to roll up my sleeves and do the work myself.
I was
going to
say, that was my next point. Yeah. You know what? You can grab the bull by the horns.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? We're back. And as I promised in my tweet, we're putting the NHL shit posting on pause for at least a moment to get back together. We're getting the band back together.
Yes, we are.
So no specifics yet, but some big things for the podcast for this upcoming season. Some goals to move to 2 times a week to keep you entertained. Some great guests, and we're looking forward to it.
Training camp. Man, it's just moving right along. We are in, what is this, the second week of training camp, and you know, you've seen overreactions, you've seen underreactions, you've seen people constantly say, It's early. You know what the beautiful thing about training camp is, or one of the best things about it? I used to be one of those people that used to overanalyze training camp. Like I used to
Me too.
Oh my God, this player had a pick. Here comes a breakout season, right? Mm-hmm. Like I used to overthink these things, right? I just think it's funny when a quarterback throws a pick and the spin zone is, well, the corner's having a great day.
Yeah.
And when you look at the highlight, the quarterback threw the ball right to the cornerback. And maybe the cornerback is having a great day. Maybe Darnay Holmes is, you know, poised for a breakout season.
The guy who wasn't getting regular snaps is all of a sudden, you know, the next coming of Antonio Cromartie or something.
Yeah, and that'll be a Monday. And then Tuesday will come along and that quarterback has a monster day where he's 9 for 9 and he's leading the team down the field and just having a brilliant day, and you see the tweets, and all of a sudden the conversation isn't, well, maybe the Giants secondary is weak. No, it's like this quarterback's gonna have a breakout day.
So and why don't we start with that then? Let's go through some of the narratives that we've seen so far in camp. Let's start with Danny Nichols.
Daniel Jones has had a camp that you pretty much expected, right? Some good days, some bad days.
Yep.
Some days where you're like, holy shit.
I mean, I even had someone slide into my DMs.
Yeah.
And someone who was at camp. And let me see if I can pull this up real quick. It's basically a text from his friend who was there about Daniel Jones. Said, it was so bad. He threw after practice on the side of the field and was bouncing balls all over. It was unbelievable. The first play of live snaps, Tony broke wide open on a 15-yard in. Stuff you dream of. Touchdown if you hit him in stride. Jones bounced it 5 yards short. And then the very next day, we're getting reports about how crisp he looks. He's 6 for 6 in live drills, and everything is good.
It's just crazy. I mean, like, we'll go from, you know, Daniel Jones is awful on Monday to I even had people tell, like, somebody message me and say, man, Daniel Jones had 2 great back-to-back days. Don't you think we should lock him up to a long-term contract?
Incredible.
It'll be cheaper now. It's like, well, how about we play a game first? You know what I'm saying? Let's put the pads and the jersey on for one Sunday, and then we'll talk. No, listen, I just think training camp is basically just a bunch of narratives. Everybody feels good about their team. Everybody can talk themselves into something. You know, this is what training camp is about.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the goal is to get to the regular season healthy.
Yes.
Right? And then we can see what happens, right? Not overreact to a day of training camp where they're not wearing pads or they are wearing pads. I just don't – I feel like I'm past that. You know,
and I think you said it, especially given how bad the Giants' injury luck has been over the last, I mean, to say even 2 to 3 years would not be doing it justice, even like 5 to 7 years.
Right.
So I'm going to knock on wood right there that especially given the injuries that we've seen torn ACLs between Saquon and Martinez. Kenny Galladay's had his issues. Yeah. Sterling Shepard's a walking
Tony
injury. Kadarius Toney. Yeah. Exactly. So let's just make it through camp healthy.
Yes.
The Daniel Jones stuff, you know, we've had more than our fair share of time to evaluate him. It hasn't been good. It's the reason they didn't pick up the 5th-year option. This is his prove-it year.
Yes.
In a new offense that should be pretty friendly to him. You've got 2 of the best offensive minds in the game between Kafka and Dable.
Yes.
And management that you can trust, at least so far. You know, it's been a while since we've recorded, but there have been a number of internal changes that have been made by Joe Shane that a lot of people, including myself, didn't think would happen. And we're at the point where, and we spoke about this briefly, and we'll get back to the individual players and training camps, but you know, this is a 3-year process right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, year one, evaluate what you have. Evaluate the new picks and players brought in by Joe Shane and his team. Year two, assuming that things go the way they have been going with Daniel Jones, you find your next quarterback. clean up the cap mess that, I mean, can we even say his name on this podcast?
No.
I feel like we need to come up with like a euphemism or a nickname.
That's another thing. I'm so done with that era where it's like.
Listen, and people, and this is the thing, right? The Gettleman Truthers, I just said it because we'll come up with something over the course of the show. But the Gettleman Truthers for years blamed it on the mess that Jerry Reese, you know, created for him. And yeah, some of that was valid, but it was exacerbated immediately by Gettleman, right? It wasn't an acknowledgement of the mistakes and we're going to fix it. It was, hey, how can we make this worse?
It was a double down of the mistake, yes.
The SpongeBob clip where, you know, they go, oh my God, it's a giant paint bubble. And then Patrick goes, now it's two giant paint bubbles.
Right.
Like that was essentially what Gettleman did. And, you know, we have to trust in Shane and we like what he's done so far, but he has to clean up the mess created by the previous administration, and it's totally valid to bring up the previous administration when discussing what needs to happen in order for the Giants to be successful in a couple of years. So year two, cleaning up the cap situation as best they can, getting a new quarterback in to evaluate, going through those growing pains, and then year three, assuming they're confident that they made the right pick at quarterback, spending the money again, and then really leveling up and trying to make a push for a deep run in the playoffs. So, you know, we got to be patient. As tough as it is, it has been what we've been asking for the last few years, a sound process.
Right.
And, you know, we're on that road, but it's very early.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is also the head coach and the GM being on the same trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to worry about, well, it's this GM is in his second year. He has to win now. You know, well, the head coach is still in his first year, still installing his system. So I think that's very, very important. But I think you pretty much nailed it in terms of the three-year process. If Daniel Jones is not the long-term solution at quarterback, you're bringing in another, you know, young quarterback, rookie quarterback, and you know you got to give it a year to develop that young guy, and then you know the second year of that young quarterback, if it's the right guy,
mm-hmm.
you want to see a second year jump, and then that's when you know by the third year you're. And when we say contending, we mean contending for a Super Bowl, you know, contending to make a deep run in the playoffs, not just, hey, be a fringe playoff team. I don't think that's what we're chasing here.
Right.
What we're looking for is when can the Giants be contending for a Super Bowl? And I think it all starts with getting the quarterback position correct.
Right, exactly. And I think in a division like the NFC East, you have a bunch of other teams who are directionless. You know, I don't think anyone can say definitively that the Eagles have found their franchise quarterback.
Absolutely
the Commanders
not.
Certainly haven't found their franchise quarterback, and the Cowboys are the Cowboys.
Yeah.
So, you know, it should be wide open, especially assuming that they do this process correctly.
I think where the Eagles are is where the Giants were last year, where in terms of where what they're looking for from their quarterback, where they are saying, okay, we have all these pieces around him. Is Jalen Hurts the franchise quarterback, right? Like we've put pieces around him.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done a better job of that than the Giants did obviously last season. But I think that's sort of where they're, where if he's not the guy, they're going to look to the draft, where I think the Giants, you know, if this quarterback class that just passed, if that was a good quarterback class, I think you would have saw the Giants have a different mindset toward the quarterback position. I think because it was such a weaker class, it pushed them more back toward Daniel Jones rather mm-hmm. than looking in the draft for a quarterback.
Yeah, and this upcoming draft, at least in my eyes, projects to be a pretty good one.
Yeah,
things change. It's way too early to discuss, but there are a lot of guys to keep an eye on.
Right.
Going back to camp specifically,
yeah.
Who do you want to discuss first, or is there anyone that's really standing out that you would deem as not being an overreaction or an underreaction or a camp storyline that you are optimistic about?
I think one of the most forgotten players on this roster, and I think it's because of his injury last year, has been Shane Lemieux. I think, remember, he was a fifth-round pick tossed into the fire as a rookie to play left guard, and he struggled in pass protection, but did some good things in the run blocking. Then last year, you know, suffered an injury early in the season, missed the entire year, but I think what you're seeing him this season, he stepped in, he's you know, taking the starting left guard spot. He's taking some snaps at center. You've liked what you've seen. But it's only been a couple of padded practices. But that's, I think, one person where you're thinking to yourself, man, I really forgot about him, but this guy could actually fill one of the spots on the offensive line, you know, on the inside. And I think
Yeah, and that's the hope.
That would be a huge win for the Giants.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy who sort of realizes that based on his draft pick, right, where he was selected, and he's going to need to be a guy who's versatile. And you mentioned it. He's already taken snaps at center this camp in John Feliciano's absence, which is awesome to see. And on top of that, right, if he's going to be playing left guard, you know, Andrew Thomas is your franchise left tackle. And it seemed like every time the Giants padded up for a game last week, he had to introduce himself to who he was playing next to. It was just a revolving door cast of characters. And, you know, assuming he can up his level and stay healthy, it would be a good thing to see.
Yeah, I think if you solidify three spots of your offensive line with guys that are 25 or younger, you know, Andrew Thomas, Shane Lemieux, and then Evan Neal at right tackle, then that's three of five spots, and you have, you know, Mark Lewinsky, who's going to be your right guard, and then really only your center position is sort of, you know, Feliciano's a center this year, but I think he's more of a bridge guy to whenever they find a long-term solution. But I think when you're able to find, you know, fifth-round picks, sixth-round picks to fill in the offensive line or any position, I think that's huge. So I think Lemieux sort of was forgotten because of the injuries and because it's a new regime, and then also because they drafted Josh Azudu in the third round. But I think he has a chance to really, I always say, has a chance to make himself some money if he can solidify himself as a starting left guard for this team. And early on, I think he's shown that he can be the left guard, but also he can step in and play center if need be.
Sure. From my perspective, I mean, I don't want it to sound like a cop-out or anything like that, but to hear that Kayvon Thibodeau is everything that was advertised is refreshing. All indications are that he can do it all, inside, outside, power, speed, and you hope that he can become that alpha pass rusher the Giants have lacked forever. So to see him excel and do really well, especially with that personality that he has, you know, I love it. I love to see it. And I'm excited to watch him on a weekly basis, hopefully.
Who do you think will hit a rookie wall first, or have, you know, hit the rookie wall the longest? Will it be Thibodeau or Evan Neal?
It might be Neal. We saw with Andrew Thomas, right? Adjusting to the NFL is not easy, especially at one of the most important positions on the team. And we just, again, another guy we have to be patient with. A lot of people, ourselves included, I think, were disappointed with how Andrew Thomas started his career. You know, he struggled with some injuries. He had a rotating cast of characters at guard. And again, not an easy position to play or adjust to at the NFL level. But by all indications, Neal was one of the most pro-ready tackles, as was Thomas. And, you know, if he hits a wall, that's fine. We just have to be patient and stay the course.
I think I'm always reminded of last year, this time, around this time, the preseason, when Andrew Thomas just looked so bad. Like, he looked – I remember the preseason game, I think it was against New England, where he just had some of the worst pass blocking and stuff that, you know, you thought was his strengths, you know, using his hands, using his feet, setting himself. You know, it was not there, and you're just thinking to himself – you're thinking to yourself, like, am I watching – the tackle that I jumped for joy for when he was drafted. So, the growing pains, I think, with Evan Neal are going to be there. But with Thomas, like I said, you know, last year, once the regular season started, he settled down. And even with sort of the rotation at guard, he still had, I thought, was a borderline breakout season. And I think this year, he is going to solidify himself as one of the premier left tackles in this league. Like, I truly believe Andrew Thomas, if he can stay healthy, you know, I believe he's already one of the 10 best tackles in football. But I think this year he will solidify himself on more of a national level. So I'm excited about Andrew Thomas, and I really hope he can stay healthy.
Me as well.
You talk about rookies, and you talk about Evan Neal and Thibodeau in particular. The patience is—it's more than just with those two guys. I was having this conversation with somebody earlier this week. I mean, the Giants could be playing five guys; six of their starters could be rookies. I mean, obviously, you have Thibodeau and Neal—they're going to be rookies, right? And then you could have—you'll have Wandell Robinson. That's the third guy. And then at the time, I thought Dane Belton was going to be a starter. So that's your fourth
guy. He's got a broken collarbone?
Broken collarbone. He's out. We'll see if he's, you know, goes on injured reserve and designated to return, or if he's ready for the start of the season. They could play Josh Azudu. At the time, Feliciano was dealing with some, so it's like if he's injured, you know, Azudu's going to step in. And that's four corners right there. We'll see what happens with Cordell Flott in the slot. I think Darnay Holmes has sort of gotten that. But then you take it a step further, and you're like, okay, not just the fact that they're going to be playing rookies. They're going to be playing second-year guys that are still finding their footing in the National Football League. Like Aaron Robinson. Yeah, Aaron Robinson. Kadarius Toney too, but Aaron Robinson, to me, is basically a rookie. Like, he did not play that much last season. So I think that he's basically a rookie to me, or a guy that you can categorize him as finding his footing. Kadarius Toney, another guy. I forgot to mention another rookie, Dane Bellinger. I mean, we're banking on him to be the starting tight end, and he's a fourth-round pick.
Bellinger, yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you look at the list of guys, like you look at the Giants depth chart right now, and I know it's unofficial, and you look at the rookies that projected to play a lot, and then you look at the second-year guys that are still finding their footing in this league, and that's like 80% of the starters right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is an established player on this roster? You got Leonard Williams, right? You have
Dexter Lawrence.
You know, you have
Andrew Thomas,
Blake Martinez, Andrew Thomas. Like, it was like five or six guys, and then the rest are just guys that are either rookies or finding their footing. Like, they might be good, they might not be good. So it is going to be a process. There is going to be growing pains, and while we talked about, you know, 3 years and how long is it going to take to rebuild, you really got to fully understand where we are from a roster building process.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to look at the depth chart and where you think guys are going to be playing, and to just expect Wandale Robinson to walk onto the field and be a, you know, top 20, top 25 receiver in the league. I think it's unrealistic to think Thibodeau will be automatically a, you know, a guy
10 sack rookie.
Something like that. Or Evan Neal not to have moments where he just looks completely lost. Like, I don't think that that's realistic. Maybe you get one guy, maybe it's Thibodeau that doesn't hit that rookie wall. He can have that defensive rookie of the year type season.
Sure.
I just don't think it's realistic to expect.
The expectations are low.
They have to be low.
Yeah.
They have to be low. It's crazy that I mean, I understand people are excited. It's a new regime, and I'm excited, and you want to see, you know, forward thinking coaches and where they come from, and, you know, I'm all for it. But you really got to look at where the Giants are from a roster standpoint and understand that this season is going to be a one full of moments where you're like, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing where we can become, and there's going to be moments of like, you want to pull your hair out.
It's going to be a learning experience for everyone, the fans included.
Yes. And one of the things I'm going to be looking forward to the most is how this team finishes the season and if that leads to them changing their trajectory of where they are from a real rebuilding standpoint. And I think that's where I'll feel more calm about this regime. If they're able to stick to the course rather than cave to pressure from an owner that is buying into some false belief that his roster is closer than what they're, because that's what we've seen the last couple head coaches, right? Encouraging first year, and then you go out and you spend money or you don't address the proper needs because you think you're a lot closer than you are, and then it just falls flat on its face.
Yep, and all indications are, you know, this is Joe Shane's team.
I hope so. I hope so. Daniel Jones, I wanted to have this conversation with you, and we're going to do a podcast where we look at more of the regular season and the season outlook. But, you know, everybody understands that this is a make or break season for Daniel Jones. And obviously we know how it can be a break season for Daniel Jones, right? Because we've seen the last 3 years. But how can this be a make season? How can Daniel Jones earn the right, in your eyes, to be the team starting quarterback next year?
Wow.
There you go.
I mean,
I'm putting
to be honest, I mean, this, without putting any like stats or numbers behind it, like he has to be a top 15 quarterback in my eyes, like undoubtedly. In order
can
for
can I share something with you?
You can.
I was having this conversation with myself in the shower this morning because I knew we were recording and I knew I wanted to ask you this, and I literally said the same exact thing to myself.
There you go.
I literally said the same. I said top 12, but I
that, and that's why you are the yin to my yang.
Yes. No, we did not. You were not in the shower with me.
I was not in the shower. No. To confirm.
For all those weirdos that automatically thought that or wanted to crack a joke like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, I mean, he would have to – like I was talking about, it's not just about the numbers. It's about the results too. And it's unfair to an extent because we just had a conversation about the roster and how it's not a roster that's close to contention. But – you almost have to see him not just put up, you know, top 15 numbers or play like a top 15 quarterback. You know, there has to be results. Like, this team has to win games.
Right.
Because if this team, if he has a good statistical season, but this team wins 5 games, you know, it's the timeline. We talked about the timeline, right? Like, and maybe that's unfair, but it's just where we are.
But I don't care about unfair.
Yeah, right. You know? Right.
Like, in terms you of come the, in here, you come in here factor. As Joe Shane,
right?
And you do all the housekeeping that you did, and you bring in your own coaching staff. Like, he's earned the right based on everything that he's done in his career, and you know all the merit and getting hired as a general manager to pick his guy.
Right.
And if what he sees isn't enough, you know, that may not be what the fan base sees, but he has earned the right to pick his guy.
Absolutely.
And if his guy is already in the building, great. Good for him. He can use that draft capital on other needs.
If he wants to tie himself to Daniel Jones for another year, so be it. You know, that I don't think I just have like, it's tough for me to envision a scenario given everything we've talked about with this Giant team, where they are not drafting a quarterback next year.
Agreed. And you know, I tweeted about this a few weeks ago, but we did this exercise last year.
Yeah.
We went through every NFL team and we took into account contract, age, team situation, and there were a teeny tiny handful of quarterbacks that, you know, we would rather have Daniel Jones instead of them.
Right.
And you're an NFL team, you're trying to win. When you are using draft capital that high on the quarterback position, your goal is to find a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the league for 15 years.
I also believe that if this quarterback class was stronger, I think they would have positioned themselves to take a quarterback this year.
Sure.
Like, I just think where this is headed is, like, this team is going to be looking for a new quarterback a year from now. And I think it would have been this year had it been a much stronger quarterback class. Like, I just look at the moves that they've made, the people that they've brought in. They just look like a team that is going to be or is looking for a new quarterback. Does that mean that they're rooting against Daniel Jones? Absolutely not. Nobody is rooting against Daniel Jones. There's nothing more that you or I or anybody else would love than for Daniel Jones to go out there and in 2022 have a season
dominate.
Where we come away saying there's no way we can let this guy hit the free agent market. We need to put the franchise tag on him. And we are, you know, this is a he has broken out or he has had that breakout season. You know, he has made himself. But you have to be realistic about the situation. And what you've seen the last 3 years, it's just not what a franchise quarterback is. And I think a year from now, as I've mentioned earlier, we are going to be in a position where we are drafting or they are drafting a quarterback.
Yeah. And especially a class that, again, it's early. There appear to be a lot of options.
I and I raised the question, if this projected next year's class was this past year's class, would that commitment to Daniel Jones still be there from the Giants? And I have my doubts.
Yeah.
I have my doubts.
Yeah.
So that's where we are on Daniel Jones. We think
that's where we are.
So to recap, you say top 15 quarterback.
Top 15.
I say,
you in the shower says top 15.
I said more so top 12, top 15. And results have to be there in terms of the team winning games. It can't just be a good statistical season, in my opinion. There has to be more.
Sure. What else? Saquon?
Saquon Barkley. The Saquon
Barkley. I'll start with this.
Okay.
The stay on that side of the fence. Okay. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes.
That really irks me.
The Saquon situation is a very, very... It's not similar to Daniel Jones, because I think we all agree Saquon Barkley is a better running back than Daniel Jones is a quarterback.
Sure.
Right? You just, in terms of Daniel Jones, you really have to look, in Saquon Barkley, you really have to look at the NFL and how running backs are treated. And you have to look at running backs that have gotten a long-term contract. So let's look at the list. Todd Gurley. The Rams hated that deal. They actually got rid of him before that deal really kicked in. Ezekiel Elliott. I think the Cowboys would, if they could go back, they would get rid of that. They would not offer him that long-term deal. Christian McCaffrey. He's been hurt more than he's been on the field. Derrick Henry. We are starting to see Derrick Henry slow down. But Derrick Henry is, I think the one outlier here.
Uh-huh.
Then you look at Dalvin Cook. And I'm just going down the list of highest paid running backs. He was hurt last year. Alvin Kamara. He was hurt last year. Right? Aaron Jones. He's splitting carries with A.J. Dillon. A cheaper, younger running back. Joe Mixon wasn't on the field in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. You see the pattern here? And I'm just literally going down the list of the highest paid backs. So when these guys that I'm named, Christian McCaffrey, his average is $16 million. Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, $15 million. Dalvin Cook, $12 million. Derrick Henry, $12 million. Nick Chubb, $12 million. Joe Mixon and Aaron Jones, $12 million. And then you get to Saquon Barkley, who's number 9, he's making $7.7 million in 2022. So my point is that paying running backs doesn't really, you don't get the ROI on it. There's no return of investment. Majority of these teams that have given long-term contracts to running backs, they have not gotten the results that they've looked for. Do you know who has gotten results when they've paid running backs? Austin Eckler. $6 million a year, right? Kareem Hunt, $6 million a year. Cordell Patterson, $5.2 million a year. The 21st highest paid running back is Najee Harris, and he's on a rookie contract. My point is giving running backs long-term deals where they are paid $10, $11, $12, $13, $14 million does not work. There's almost an immediate regret there. And when you're a team that's not going to be competing or not in serious contention, it just doesn't make sense. Just like it doesn't make sense for a team to draft a running back when they are not going to be in contention in the first round or in the top 10. So you get my point, right? Like you just look at the facts. Like, you look at the history of giving running backs highest, you know, paying these running backs. The 25th highest paid running back in the National Football League, and the 24th, and the 23rd, and the 22nd, and the 21st are all rookie running backs on their rookie deal. J.D. McKissick's number 20. The 16th highest paid running back in the NFL is Rashard Penny at $5 million a year. I'm just saying, you can find backs anywhere, right? Like, you're seeing it around the league. Jonathan Taylor looks great right now. Everyone wishes they had Jonathan Taylor at his rookie contract. He's not even in the top 30 of highest paid running backs.
Yep.
Think about that. Jonathan Taylor, who I think is either the first or second or third. I don't really play the rank running back game.
He's number one.
Fine. He's not even in the top 30. He is actually the 38th highest paid running back in the National Football League at $1.9 million. Some running backs that are making more than him: Mark Ingram, Brandon Bolden, Raheem Mostert, Marlon Mack. Remember Marlon Mack? The guy that took
Jonathan
Taylor's job is making more than Jonathan Taylor. Deontay Freeman is making more than Jonathan Taylor. My point is, and I think what your point is, you can find these guys anywhere. And sometimes it's better to have multiple guys that do multiple things well. They call it a running back by committee. The Giants had that one time. They won the
Bills,
Super Bowl.
The Bills love that.
The Giants won a Super Bowl with a running back by committee. Did you know that?
They did.
Brandon Earth, Jacobs, and Ahmad Bradshaw. And they would have won it in 08 with the three-headed monster, but, you know, we all know how that ended up.
Yeah.
My point is, your point is, you can find these backs anywhere. Jonathan Taylor looks great right now. His cap hit is $1.9 million, and he is the best back in the league. You can find him. It's easy. The NFL is telling you it's easy.
I think it goes against every team-building instinct that Joe Shane has to pay this guy even if he has a good year.
Right. And you can't – there's no, like, well, if he has a great year, we can place the franchise tag on him. No. Why would I pay him $9, $10 million
exactly
when I can go find a running back in the draft? Breece Hall is a rookie, right? He was drafted in the second round.
Yep.
Or was he a first-round pick?
No, they traded up to the front of the second round to grab him.
He's the 31st highest-paid running back in the National Football League. DeAndre
That's
Swift.
How you do it.
Remember DeAndre Swift broke out last year? 33rd highest-paid running back in the National Football League. Cam Akers. You know Cam Akers, right? Good back. $1.5 million. 44th highest paid running back. J.K. Dobbins. Remember his rookie season in Baltimore? He is the 49th highest paid running back. A.J. Dillon. You know the guy that took carries from Aaron Jones, who has one of the highest paid cap hits in the National in terms of running back? He's the 51st highest paid running back in the National Football League. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is these backs are easy to find. And it's better. You can get production, elite production, out of a running back who's making little to no money and has no impact on the salary cap space than going out there and paying Christian McCaffrey $16 million and paying Alvin Kamara $15 million and paying Dalvin Cook $12 million.
You summed it up beautifully.
And you know what's crazy about this information I just said? It's available to everyone to go see.
It's free.
I just looked at sport. I have it open, Sports Track open. And I looked at the average running back salary. And like some of these backs have higher cap hits than others. You know, Ezekiel Elliott has an $18 million cap hit this year. Anybody want to pay Ezekiel Elliott $18 million this year?
Anybody? The Cowboys don't.
The Cowboys don't. Does anybody else? No. So, look, man, you know the history. You see it. These running backs are easy to find. And typically when they get to those fifth years, those sixth years, and that new contract kicks in,
They depreciate real quick.
That's when you start to see the injuries. That's when you start to see, you know, the nicks and nacks and the missing 2 weeks and the missing 3 weeks. And, you know, and it's unfortunate. I would love if running backs could play 10, 11 seasons of elite football, right? Then it would make all the sense in the world to give them longer-term deals because their production is up there. But the point is that it's running back is a position that, unfortunately, guys are easy to find, and the guys that get longer-term deals, there's almost immediate regret from the team. And I get why Ezekiel Elliott got a long-term deal because of where Dallas thought they were. I get why Derrick Henry got his longer-term deal and McCaffrey and Kamara, you know, where those teams were when they paid these running backs and Aaron Jones. But
doesn't age well.
No, it doesn't age well.
Rarely ages well.
So I think the Giants will be on the smarter side of this. And Saquon Barkley will be looking for a new team after 2022.
Just more top 10 picks that will be on different rosters.
Yeah. And hopefully, and I am hoping that Saquon Barkley has a great season. Has a great season. So that he can get his money somewhere else.
Amen.
Just not here.
All right. What's next?
Let's go to questions.
Did we get any good ones? Do you have it up?
I do have it up, yeah. I think we I think I explained it well, like how
pretty well, I would say.
Okay, good. Who do you think has a better chance of breaking out this year? Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones? I think Saquon is more of a bounce back than a breakout. So I think Saquon is more likely to bounce back this season than Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones hasn't broken out yet. Right. Yeah.
The question was who has a better chance of breaking out? But I don't think Saquon has broken. Like, he's not in a breakout year. He broke out his rookie year.
Right.
I think it's more of Saquon going to – what's more likely to happen? Saquon going to bounce back? Saquon
bounces back or Daniel Jones breaks out?
Yeah, and I think Saquon bounces back. This is a good question. We didn't really hit on this. We've talked about it off air. Do you see the Jimmy G smokescreen as a red flag that this regime has no faith in Daniel Jones, or am I looking too far into this? Go ahead. I'll let you.
Yeah, we spoke about this off air. I found it very interesting. I don't know where these rumors came from. I think on every level that they don't make sense. I know that based on the contract structure, you know, it won't really take up a lot of cap space for the Giants if he were to come on.
But again, as a free agent,
right.
Trade is a different story.
But I don't understand at all, right? How old is he? I mean,
he's in his 30s. Yeah, he's on the final year of his deal.
He's not a mobile guy. He's had some injury issues. I don't see him as the type of quarterback that Joe Shane wants here. They've already got Tyrod Taylor as a backup. And if you bring him in on a one-year deal, it ends the same time as Daniel Jones. And it makes no sense. I don't think it has any merit. I've tried to think about it from every angle, and I don't have one.
Yeah, I think that's the big point is where does it make sense? And nowhere. First of all, he has a $26 million cap hit. Giants can't afford that, so they can't trade for him, and they won't trade for him. Let's say he becomes a free agent. Well, the Giants already dished out some serious money for a backup quarterback. I mean, how much is Jimmy Garoppolo going to get on the open market? Could he get $10 million, a one-year $10 million deal on the open market? Yeah, I could see that. Given what we've seen quarterbacks get, I think Jimmy Garoppolo would get something like that. I don't think it will be from the Giants because the Giants don't even have $10 million in salary cap space. And I don't think Jimmy G is looking for a longer-term deal right now. I think he was looking for more of a one-year prove-it deal. And I just don't see the Giants as a legitimate situation. But let's say they can make the money work. Well, let's look at the roster. They have a backup quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. They have gone sort of, not all in, but they're looking to see what Daniel Jones is. Bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo, where does that put Tyrod Taylor? Is Tyrod Taylor the third string quarterback? Does that mean he's going to be inactive on game days? Well, then what's the point of Tyrod Taylor?
Right.
And then what about Davis Webb? Davis Webb left Buffalo because he had an opportunity to, you know, be on an active roster, not just a coach on a team. Remember, in Buffalo offered him a coaching job. He would retire from the NFL, become a coach. But no, he chose to continue his playing career and came to the Giants as a third-string quarterback. And that means he's going to be on the roster. So does that mean you're going to carry four quarterbacks in the active roster? And then why would Jimmy Garoppolo, who's looking to resurrect his career somewhere else, who just took, was part of a team that went to the NFC Championship games that a lot of people like, I don't like, but a lot of people like him, why would he come to the Giants where they seem to be all in on Daniel Jones? And then what would happen? Does Jimmy Garoppolo become the starter? Does it become a quarterback competition? It just doesn't make sense from a football perspective, from a financial perspective. I don't know where it started. If you have friends who you love who are gamblers, please tell them not to gamble on Jimmy Garoppolo going to the Giants. It's not happening. It never made sense. And barring an injury to Daniel Jones, I just don't see Jimmy Garoppolo coming to the Giants.
Agreed. Sorry. It just doesn't make any sense.
So it's not a smokescreen to answer the individual's question, or it's not, he said it's a red flag that this regime has no faith in Jones. No, I don't think so. It's, you're just looking too far into this. Question from TJ O'Donnell, good friend of the show. I actually met him last year at the Giants game. Not going strictly off win-loss record, what would you consider to be a successful season? For me, it's showing competence and the ability to constantly score 24 points on offense. I'm not there to put a point total on there, but for me, it's going to be about development and progress. Young players, can they get better? Those players are in the second year and they're looking for their, you know, looking to find footing in this league. Will that be? And then the third thing is, I want to see competence. You know, I think that's the one thing the Giants have been lacking a lot. But for me, Brian Daboll, it's going to be all about year two. I'm not going to get too high or too low on this season. I mean, obviously there can be some bizarre things that happen where you're just like, what the hell is going on? I mean, is this guy even supposed to be a head coach? I don't want to rule that out. I saw that with the last two coaches. But for me, it's all about year two. So this season, it doesn't matter the win-loss record. It doesn't matter if they can score points. I have come to the understanding that this is going to be a process, and year one is about evaluating. So I think Peter King said it best. He said the Giants are 90 guys right now, but 53 guys eventually that are just trying out for the Giants to be on this team long-term. And that's where this is.
Agreed. I agree with everything. Tough to put, you know, numbers or totals behind it.
It's tough. What percentage likelihood is that Jones is back in 2023? We already talked about what he would need to do to make that happen. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to say 20% chance that he can be a top 12 quarterback and his team can win games.
Yeah.
20%.
Maybe a little less.
But I like this question from Monty, another good friend of mine. I think I met him at the game too last year, right? Was he there?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember. I met a lot of people. So yeah. Monty, I met you. Hi. Give us a surprise roster cut prediction. This is a good one.
I don't really have an answer.
I got one.
Okay.
Ben Bredesen.
Okay.
I think he could be the odd man out. I think that offensive lineman could get a little too crowded for him. The thing about the Giants' salary cap situation is the guys on their roster that could be categorized as surprise cut, because of the contract and the way it's been restructured over the years, the list is very small. Like Kenny Galladay, they can't cut him. You know, they're not going to cut Leonard Williams, but I'm saying these type of contracts where you could be like, they cut him. Wow. It just isn't there. And a lot of the younger guys on these, you know, rookie contracts, they're just not, you know, it won't surprise anybody. Would it surprise you if they cut Darius Slayton at this point? I mean, not really. That's not going to surprise me. I mean, Darnay Holmes doesn't look like he's going to be a surprise cut. He looks like he's going to be a starter. So I just don't see – I mean, Ben Bredesen is the only thing that really comes to mind as it could be a surprise cut right now.
Okay. I have no good answer for that one.
You're still catching up, huh?
I don't think there's anyone on the roster I would be genuinely surprised.
Right.
Like,
right.
All the guys that would surprise me, you just pointed out, like, they don't have contracts that can be moved, so.
Okay, let's just finish up these questions. Glenn Kaplan, I'm sorry. When does Tyrod Taylor start? Do you think he starts? I don't know. It's too early to say. I mean, you have to see up. If they struggle early out of the gate, would they make the switch? Would they signal, hey? I just don't know what it would do to benching Daniel Jones. The team is bad. You want to lose games. You want to get a higher draft pick. So might as well just struggle with Daniel Jones, right? Yeah. Well, if he gets hurt, then that's what you're going to see. Who has a higher upside, Kayvon Thibodeau or Evan Neal? I'm going to go Evan Neal. I think Evan Neal can be a perennial
Thibodeau
all-pro tackle in this league.
Okay. Sure. But if we're going upside, I think Neal's got a very safe floor. I think Thibodeau's range of outcome is quite large.
Who I think will be the better player at their position. Like, I think Evan Neal could climb into top 10 tackle, top 5 tackle, something like that. I do. I'm really high on Evan Neal.
Okay. Wow.
Which form of medieval punishment is best for he who should not be named? I've moved on, guys. I'm really, really just...
Yeah, I saw that one. What's the one where they tie your limbs? Like, is it called quartering? Where, like, the horses, like, you know, walk in opposite directions and pull your body apart?
But I'm just... Yeah, I'm so done with that. Like, I've...
That's my answer. Well, don't be because when we're talking about the cap situation this next offseason, talk about
the mistakes and all that. Like, we know why they're here. Everybody knows. I hope everyone knows, understands. So I've moved on. So yeah. Whatever punishment you want to give them, go for it. But I'm completely done with that. I've moved on. To better days.
I have not.
That's it.
All right. Is that it for the questions? Okay. Good first episode back. A lot to look forward to, both in terms of football and the podcast. And we'll do the housekeeping one more time. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. We'll talk to you guys soon.